Welcome to Season 10 of Talking with Traders as we begin 2025. We're into the fifth year of this podcast that began in 2020, and we've just surpassed 200,000 downloads of Talking with Traders. Once again, IG have come on board as the sponsor of this podcast. We're truly grateful to have such a global leader in online trading as our sponsors. In the coming weeks, I'll be interviewing various guests from around the globe on the topic of trading. Some of these will be past guests that we welcome back to the show, and some will be new guests. The idea is to attract a broad spectrum of different perspectives from players in various areas of the markets. None of what you hear here is financial advice, but it is intended to get you thinking about how you might be able to apply what you hear here to your own trading and investing. Remember to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. That way, you'll be notified when new episodes are released. Or if you watch these interviews on YouTube, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us a thumbs up and leave a comment if you wish. We welcome the engagement. Once again, thank you to IG for sponsoring this podcast into its fifth year. And thank you, listeners, for your continued support. Now, let's get into this week's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Talking with Traders. And this time I'm delighted to welcome back Brian McMillan from Investec Structured Products. He's actually in Durban at the moment, although usually in Johannesburg. And he's here this week to talk to us about a really interesting structured product that they've been marketing. And the opportunity is hot right now to get involved in this. So hence, I thought it would be a good idea to chat to you, Brian. This is your China structured product. It's a product over the CSI 300 equity index in China, right?
Yes, that's correct. First time that we've done this particular index.
Yeah, I was going to ask that actually. I don't remember you doing a China one before. So I was actually going to ask if this is the first time you've ventured into China.
Yeah. Well, previously we've had something called China Seas, which was, and I'm talking 15 years ago, which was around China. So Korea, Vietnam, on the periphery. But the first time that we've ever done one over China, and probably for the last, 5 years at least, our structured products out of our Guernsey structure have been on world markets. So we've tried to kind of follow the MSCI World Index. And, this time we thought we'd go with something a little bit different, just because of where valuations are in the rest of the world.
So let's chat about this. I mean, the attractiveness of the Chinese market now, because I'm intrigued from a personal perspective as well. Obviously, I look at markets a lot and track them. And the Chinese market does stand out as screaming value at this point in the cycle. And as you say, when you look at the US markets, they're above long-term average valuations. So somewhere like China does look pretty interesting. But then there's also the counter argument. Some say, it's cheap for a reason because of the risks and all of that sort of thing. So let's just quickly talk about that. The attractiveness of China as an investment destination right now at this point in the cycle.
Yeah, sure. So, that's one of the things is, as you mentioned, the valuations in the US and the rest of the world, not to the same degree, but certainly the US. When you have these kind of valuations, the expected return going out the next couple of years, is expected to be a bit muted, whereas China, off a much lower valuation, has the potential to have good returns. But, being an emerging market and there are many other risks around that, we've just seen we're right in the middle of Trump calling tariffs left, right, and center and then closing them off. But I feel that having a structured product over that kind of market makes a lot of sense because you can go into that market, look for those returns, but you don't have the downside. And, having that makes it far more attractive than just taking an open position in the market on that particular index or through an ETF. And also because we're doing it over a five-year period, it has that potential to, even if you do have, a year or two where this economy takes some time to turn around, out 5 years, I think you can have some good returns.
All right. Well, let's chat a bit about the mechanics of it, because these structured products that you do often have a fairly similar sort of theme, I suppose. There's usually capital guarantee. There's upside to a point. The upside is capped. There's usually, as you say, a 5-year fixed term that you need to be in the investment to realize the full potential of it. But let's unpack it a bit and talk about the basics from an investor perspective. What you're looking at from a high level now, if you invest in this product.
Sure. So this is a company structure that we have in Guernsey. These companies, we put them together. Inside the company, the assets of that company are the structured product. And that means that you're going to have a 5-year investment term, 100% capital protection at the end of the 5 years, and the investment is in US dollars. Now, our company structure is quite interesting because it's based in Guernsey. At the end of the 5-year period, we will come back to the investors and say, this is the new structure that we want to put you in. And investors don't have to sell that share that they've bought, the share that they've bought in the Guernsey company. And that has some benefits down the line because you can hold these for a number of years. And obviously, there's no tax or capital gains tax until you actually sell a share. So, that might be in 10 years' time or 15 years' time, as long as you buy our next structured product, which is placed into it. From a point of view of what assets that the company owns, they essentially own a zero coupon bond. So, in other words, we buy a bond into that company, or the company buys a bond that will, instead, because it's zero coupon, it will require us to place around about 70% of the cash into that bond, and over the 5 years that will grow to 100%. So that's where the capital protected part comes in, and that leaves around about 30%, which we can then go and buy options and pay all the fees that there are out of that company. So you've got two components: a zero coupon bond, and then options over that CSI 300 index, as we said.
All right. So, I mean, this is the part that always fascinates me. Obviously, I've got a background in derivatives as well, and so I find this kind of structuring really very interesting. So, just so we understand it and unpack it for a listener and keep it simple, you say the investor's money essentially goes, let's just say you start with I know the minimum, I think you said, is $10,000. Yes. So let's use $10,000 then as an example. So of that $10,000, roughly $7,000 of it goes into purchasing a bond, yes. Right? And that bond is a 5-year bond.
Yes.
You say zero coupon, but isn't that where the ultimately that growth, that bond grows back to 100% over the 5 years, doesn't it?
That's correct. So unlike another bond, which pays interest every quarter or annually, this one pays no interest, but the 7,000 will grow over the period back to $10,000. And that's why we can deliver back with confidence that we say capital protection is we're going to deliver back the $10,000 at the end of the term.
Okay. And where does that end up? Sorry, that 7,000, it goes to, I know from your past products, it usually goes into some of the biggest, some of the biggest, safest banks in the world, right? Where you're effectively taking credit risk on the likes of a Goldman Sachs and Citi.
Yeah, so what we do is we obviously consolidate all the $10,000, and we go to the four largest American banks in terms of their rating and all household names. So Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Citibank, Morgan Stanley. And the reason why we use four different banks, is to keep that pricing tension, because, we have to go to them with $50 or $100 million. And if we told them up front, we're going to use one of your banks, by the time we go back to them and say, we thought we were going to do 50, now we're going to do 75, their price might change. So by using the four different banks, we're pretty agnostic as to which one we use. We will use the one who gives us the best bond price there. And the reasoning behind that is obviously if they give us, if they tell us, oh, you only need to give $6,800 for this bond, that means we have more money to buy more options, and therefore the client will get better upside.
Yeah. All right. So 70% of the client's money is going to these bonds at these big four banks. Yeah. I suppose the risk is one of those big four banks goes bang, but that's, almost negligible, right?
I mean, you don't want to use the words too big to fail, but, we've done the due diligence on these. They are four A-rated banks in the U.S., plenty of capital. None of them, I don't think, were at risk during the financial crisis. So that's why we're placing that money. So, in our Guernsey product, because you're investing as a South African investor offshore in U.S. dollars, we like to use those big American banks because, if we used Investec, for example, then your money's essentially exposed back to South Africa. Mm. By doing this, your money is truly offshore and with an offshore bank.
Right. Yeah. Right. So 70%'s gone into these bonds. We know that 70% ultimately grows back to 100% over the 5-year term, and that's where your capital guarantee comes from. Now, obviously, there's a roughly 30% left over, and that's where it gets interesting. That's where you say you cannot make use of derivative structures, options, etc., to take the exposure to the Chinese CSI 300 index. Yes.
Yes, that's correct. So, first off that 30 that's left, there are some fees and costs that go into it. Those fees and costs are roughly 1.2% per annum, so around about 6% over the 5 years. Okay. And then once again, we go back to the market. Now we have 24%, so the 70, the 6, and the 24. And we will go to some of the largest banks as well, and it doesn't have to be those particular banks that we have the underlying credit with. We go out to the market again to all those banks, and we say to them, we would like to buy a call option on the CSI 300, and we have 24% to spend. Now, they've come back to us and said, well, with 24%, you can't, for a 5-year option, you can't buy full upside. You can't get a full option. And in that case, what we do is we actually say, okay, we'd like to buy an option, and then we'll sell one at 60% higher in order. So in other words, capping your upside at a maximum of 60%, but we can buy 1.3 times of those options. Mm. And that's where we get this effect of we have a geared exposure to the CSI 300. If the index goes up 10%, because you're 1.3 times geared, you'll get 13%.
Right.
If it goes up 20, you'll get 26%. And so on and so on until you get to 60%, where you will get the maximum return, which is 1.3 times 60%, which is a 78% return as your maximum.
Right.
And that's obviously in US dollars as well. So
yeah.
If the index grows to its maximum, you'll get 1.3 times gearing to that 60, roughly 12.2% IRR per annum over the 5 years.
In US dollars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad. Okay. And that's the best case scenario. That's assuming that the Chinese market's gone up 60% or more. Yeah. I guess the important thing also to remember here is if it goes up 100% over the next 5 years, your upside is capped. You get the absolute maximum you can make is 78%.
Yes,
right.
Correct.
But on the other hand, if it goes down, you don't lose anything.
Exactly that. So you're giving away some upside potential to get that downside protection. And, we believe when you're specifically when you are Looking at, you know, an emerging market. Well, it's called emerging market, but you know, it's China. It's it's second largest economy in the world nowadays. So, but when you have a market that, a developing market, let's call it, you know, it's good to have that capital protection in place, just in case that, you know, that recovery that we're expecting doesn't come about.
You mentioned China's the second largest economy in the world, which is a fairly well-known fact. But in terms of China's equity market, where does it stand in terms of market capitalization relative to a lot of the other big markets around the world?
Yeah. So it is the second largest market in the world now.
Oh, behind the US, really?
Behind the US, roughly $10 trillion.
Wow.
The US being around about 55 trillion, and Japan at about 6.2. So, you know, it is the second largest market in the world, second largest economy. You know, it's also got a wide range of stocks in that index. So the CSI is made up of two different indices. It's Shanghai and Shenzhen. The Shanghai is sort of the old world economies, you know, consumer staples, energy, all of that kind of stuff. And then Shenzhen is the more tech side of the market. But surprisingly, that market, you know, doesn't have a huge amount of tech exposure. Mm-hmm. The banks make up about 25% of the market. You know, consumer staples, which obviously feeds that huge market, makes up a large percentage. So unlike, and one of the reasons why we stayed away from the S&P at the moment is, you know, that exposure to the Magnificent Seven, which have been magnificent, but is now, you know, such a heavy component in the S&P 500. That it's nice to have an index that has much more diversification there.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the pie chart on your fact sheet next to me here, and it is interesting. You know, as you say, financials 25%, information technology looks like about 18%, industrials 16%, consumer staples 11%, and then a whole bunch of other things, materials, healthcare, utility, energy, etc., split amongst the rest. So it actually is quite a nicely broad and diversified index. It's not very concentrated into one specific area, like, as you say, a lot of the other, like the S&P's become quite concentrated. And I was looking at the DAX the other day, I mean, that's become incredibly concentrated to just like three or four stocks.
Yeah. And also, you know, this is not including Hong Kong. So you don't have that massive exposure to property like you do in the Hong Kong market. And you'll see from that chart that it's roughly 2% of the index as well.
Yeah.
So it's not overdone. And then, you know, as you say, you know, the valuations are good. And then we've seen, you know, in the last month or so, we saw with this DeepSeek, you know, China has the ability to really provide good technology into this market. I'm sure you've noticed in the UK, we've certainly noticed in South Africa over the last few years, you know, the quality of their goods coming out of China has made a huge jump over the last decade. Their cars are now competing head on with all the German luxury brands, but at a much better price.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot has been said about China, you know, slowing growth, and but I think a lot of that is in the property market, and also, you know, we saw late last year, October, you know, they did some interventions in the market there. They provided some liquidity, and the market jumped quite significantly. Now everyone was waiting for them to do another sort of round of that loosening and providing liquidity in the market. And I think they've held back because of this Trump election and the threat of tariffs. But we expect them to actually stimulate the market more later this year. And we think that'll help that recovery come through.
Yeah, I think many of us are waiting for them to bring out the big bazooka. And it's sort of, you definitely get the feeling they're waiting. They don't, I think, like you said, they've waited for Trump to come out and let's see what happens with the tariffs and what have you. But there's some potential firepower just waiting in the wings there. Because I follow, look, not the CSI as much, but I follow the KWEB, which is a tech ETF over China tech. And exactly what you said, in September last year, it had this massive big volume surge to the upside on a little bit of stimulus. So, you know, and you got the feeling that was just the first shot coming. So, another point on that is also what I think is quite interesting is the fact that we know all of the risks of tariffs and Trump coming in and being anti-China, et cetera, et cetera. And despite all of that, when you actually look at the performance of these Chinese indices, they didn't go down when Trump won the election, and they didn't go down either when he came into office the other day. They've actually gone up over that time. So it's one of those sort of things where you look and you say, well, okay, if it's not going down when there's sort of supposedly negative impulses coming through, what's that telling you? It's kind of quite good relative strength on a relative basis. I guess a lot of listeners to the podcast might ask the question about counterparty risk, but not necessarily a counterparty in the sense that I was talking about with the big banks that you're buying the bonds from. More to the extent that, you know, what happens if China invades Taiwan and we have a repeat of the Russian situation, which is probably a bit of a stretch to think it could happen. But, you know, we saw a lot of emerging markets investors got absolutely taken to the woodshed in Russia 2 years ago when Putin invaded Ukraine, and those Russian investments effectively got written down to zero. And, you know, Russian was effectively wiped off the map as far as an investment destination is concerned. Now, what is the risk of something like that happening if China were to go in and invade Taiwan, for example?
Yeah, so I think looking at what happened to the Russian markets, pretty much everyone said we're closing down our Russian exposure. That index, you can no longer trade it. You know, I'm not sure if they settled out at the current level, and no one else was allowed to. But again, you know, we've got that capital protection. So your initial capital is protected through US banks. So on that side of the thing, your capital will be. As to the value of those options, will we be able to sell them out? And you would get the current price of them at that point. Rather than it running out. So let's say it happens after 3 years, you would get the settlement value of those. And then the last 2 years, you wouldn't have the exposure, but your capital would be protected there. Yeah. And, you know, that one of the things, I know you were going to mention it, but with our structured products, we actually provide a liquid market in all our structured products. So, you know, if you are not happy with, you know, what's happening in Taiwan or China, you can actually sell out of that share that you own, the Guernsey company. We make a market on a daily basis. We're able to unwind with the option provider and the bond provider at any time. So, you know, we're not limited to a size limit. And, you know, if you do see something and you are worried about it, let's say the index is up after 3 years, it's positive. The bond would have increased in value from that 70% over those 3 years. You would have a positive return within that share that you own, and you'd be able to sell it at that point. So we provide that liquidity on a daily basis. And if somebody's not happy with, you know, the way world events are happening, they can happily sell out at that point.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, because I was going to ask you about the liquidity and what the ease of exit is if you need to, because obviously things happen. you know, people have sometimes personal challenges which forces them to liquidate an asset. And that I know can sometimes be a bit of a deterrent if you are locked up for 5 years. But in this case, you say you guys do make a market and you will be willing to take the other side if an investor needs to exit before the 5 year term is up.
And as you know, the reason why we are able to take it as market maker is we would be able to go back and unwind those bonds because they are the largest liquid banks. And whoever we did the options with, we can unwind with them as well.
Okay. And you say it's so you, as an investor, you're effectively buying a share that's a Guernsey company. Is it a listed share? Is it listed anywhere? Or is it an OTC product?
It is listed in Bermuda. Right. So all our shares are incorporated in Guernsey, listed in Bermuda. That was historically, we needed it to be listed because of asset swap. So asset swaps needed to have listed shares. So we do that. It doesn't trade actively on that Bermudan stock exchange, but as you say, we make that market, so we'd be able to unwind. You have all the advantages of share ownership, which is, you know, there's no tax on it until you actually sell the share. You can hold that share as long as you want, because we will continue to put every 5 years a new structured product into that company. And all of these companies, we've been running these for 24 years or 23 years. We've been running a number of these companies, and we've rolled every single time that it came up for expiring.
That's one of the questions I wanted to ask you, because I know you've been at this, as you said, 24 years. And from what I understand, your success rate with these structured products is very, very high. Most of them have achieved their goals, haven't they, over that period?
You know, we've been obviously fortunate. We did more and more post the financial crisis. But all our public launches that we've launched to the market, I think there's 85, over 108 we've launched to the market. 85 have expired already. Only three of them didn't return a positive return. And those three returned capital. So, and interestingly, those three were during the financial crisis. So people who bought it in 2005, 6, and 7, and then it expired in, you know, 9, 10, 11. And those three returned the capital, which is what it said they would do. Subsequent to that, we've had, you know, you've seen, we've had between a raging bull market, low interest rates in the States, a little blip for COVID, which was basically 10 months, and then recovered. So we have been fortunate that markets have performed strongly. But, you know, that's why we put this capital protection in, because they might not always. You know, an interesting thing is, certainly, I mean, you would know that over the years, I feel like the South African investor has matured, got older, and people are looking to remain invested in equities. You know, the bond returns worldwide haven't been great. And these types of products actually allow you to stay invested in equities longer, because you've got that downside protection. You know, I found myself personally starting to buy more and more of these as I get older.
Absolutely. Have you done the sums to see if anyone had actually started with you 24 years ago, invested some money, and then continued to roll these? I mean, I understand there's been different shares of different types of structured products, so maybe it's not an easy thing to work out. But it would be very interesting to know, to look and see if you, you know, it started in, what was it, like 2000, and if you bought every single issue and then rolled into the next one and into the next one. I mean, I'm sure the compound return must be phenomenal by now.
Now, there is, but I think we can only do it on each individual share, because, you know, we've tried to over the years show our performance relative to, you know, asset managers. But we, you know, start off with a share that that covers the S&P 500. 5 years later, it becomes a world MSCI world one. Yeah. And the currency changes from US dollars into pounds and then back again. So it's very difficult to compare it to something like a unit trust or compare it to the returns that the market has made. But what is interesting is that we have outperformed all the indices that we've measured against.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because we have that initial gearing, you know, that we used to, you know, years ago, we used to get better gearing because of higher interest rates.
Yeah.
But that extra gearing and capping, you can imagine if the market does 60, this CSI does 60 over the next 5 years, we'll be giving you a 78% return. So there's instant outperformance relative to the index there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has happened over time. What would be interesting is to go back and just do it over each share and say this is what the share is performed over time. But because we're switching indices every time, it makes it a little more different.
Sure. Understandable. Right. I know there's always a time limit with these things in terms of getting involved as well. It's not like you can just come along at any old time and say, I'm keen. You've got a window of opportunity, and that window is open right now for investors wanting to get involved. So what are the details on that?
Yeah. So Gotham, you know, we are the bank that we provide. We're the investment advisor to this company. Mm-hmm. So that's our only connection with it. We say, this is what you should invest in, or the company, this is the bonds you should buy, this is the options you should buy. Over the years, we've been very steadfast in saying that, you know, as the investment advisor, we're not going to be involved in the actual selling of these shares to the market. So we're the advisor to the company, and we're happy to advise financial advisors, wealth managers, and stockbrokers. So we go out and we speak to, you know, the financial advisors, wealth managers, stockbrokers, and we say, here is our product, would you like to buy it? And so individual investors have to go through those financial advisors, wealth managers. Because of the nature of it as well, because it is a five-year period, you know, we have to have a start date and we have to finish it 5 years later. So we go out into the market. We speak to all of those financial advisors, wealth managers. A little bit of advertising goes out on, you know, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and so on. But an investor has until the 7th of March, which is our closing date, to apply. They have to have US dollars or access to asset swap through one of the large advisor companies. Some of them are able to offer that. And then the advisor makes the application form, application on behalf of the investor.
Right. Okay.
So 7th of March, you know, the financial advisor will make the thing. Investors at the moment should be speaking to their financial advisor and saying, I'm interested in this. Here's my dollars. You know, can we get them offshore if it's rands? All of that kind of stuff between now and the 7th of March.
Right. Okay. So 7th of March is the cutoff. And is there a maximum amount that you guys are looking to take in, or is it open-ended?
It's open-ended. So this particular company, we've got seven companies that have been running multiple years. And we had a kind of gap in our sort of sales cycle. So this is a new company, International Opportunities Limited is the name of the company. The first product inside that is the CSI 300. So we've put that together to fill that gap for now. Yeah.
All right, super. And last question. I mean, a lot of the listeners to this podcast are South Africans, but we've also got a growing international audience as well. Yeah. If you're a non-South African, is this, I mean, I presume it's also open as if you're a non-South African as well, you can get in touch with your financial advisor wherever you might be, and they could then get it. The financial advisor would need to get in touch with you and then you know, arrange for the client to invest.
Yeah, we're seeing a growing number of South Africans in places like Dubai and, you know, expats like yourself. They still have connections through financial advisors. The only ones who can't is citizens of the US.
Yeah.
And the reasoning, so they have their own tax rules and stuff that the company is not willing to provide details to the US.
All right.
Very advisable.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Excellent. Brian, I think that's all the questions I had for you. It's very interesting. I always enjoy our conversations. I like the mechanics of these derivative structures and how you package them and put them together. It's all very clever stuff. Just to sort of remind the listeners, I guess, you know, it's a product over the China CSI 300 index, 5-year term, maximum upside potential of 78% over 5 years, 100% capital guarantee. And if you want to get involved, you've got to do so before the 7th of March and contact your financial advisor, who will then make the necessary applications on your behalf.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks.
Cool. Great, Brian. Well, thanks again. It's always good talking to you. Appreciate the time and thank you. Stay well.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Talking with Traders, sponsored by IG, a world-leading CFD provider. We really are privileged to have such a strong global provider of online trading services as our backer for this podcast series. Remember to subscribe for more episodes by clicking on the subscribe button of your favorite podcast app, or if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up, and leave a comment. We welcome the engagement. Till next time.